can't help but have a smile on with that music. If you would please stand, we have something to sing about the amazing grace of our God.
Save a wretch like me. Good morning, church. This morning's call to worship comes from Psalm 92. And in the original Hebrew, it has a subtitle. It says, "A psalm, a song to be sung on the Sabbath day." I won't be singing it for you, but I will read it from the NLT version of the Bible. God's word says, "It is good to give thanks to the Lord, to sing praises to the Most High. It is good to proclaim your unfailing love in the morning, your faithfulness in the evening, accompanied by a 10-stringed instrument, a harp, and the melody of a lyre. You thrill me, Lord, with all you have done for me. I sing for joy because of what you have done. O Lord, what great works you do, and how deep are your thoughts. Only a simpleton would not know, and only a fool would not understand this. Though the wicked sprout like weeds, and evildoers flourish, they will be destroyed forever. But you, O Lord, will be exalted forever. Your enemies, Lord, will surely perish. All evildoers will be scattered. But you have made me as strong as a wild ox. You have anointed me with the finest oil. My eyes have seen the downfall of my enemies. My ears have heard the defeat of my wicked opponents. But the godly will flourish like palm trees and grow strong like the cedars of Lebanon. For they are transplanted to the Lord's own house. They flourish in the courts of our God. Even in old age, they will still produce fruit. They will remain vital and green. They will declare, 'The Lord is just. He is my rock. There is no evil in him.'" Let's pray. Father, there is no evil in you. You are just. You are our rock, and in you we put our trust. We declare that it is good to give thanks to you, Lord, to sing praises to your name, and that's why we have gathered here this morning. And so we pray that you would be with us in a special way, that you would fill our hearts with joy towards you, with joy for being saved by you, with joy for being called your children. Help us, Lord, to be people of praise. I confess that often we are not. We do not praise you for everything that comes our way. But instead, Lord, I pray that you would make us people who proclaim your unfailing love. Help us not to be like the wicked, people who flourish on the ideas of injustices, on the views and values of this world. They hope in things that do not fulfill. But help us, Lord, to only hope in you. Accept our praise this morning, Lord. We gather here because of Jesus. It's in his name that I pray. Amen. Just a few announcements, if you want to look in your bulletin. First and foremost, there is the ballot for elder. You can affirm Gareth Bear for elder, or there's also a block where you do not affirm him. Please turn that in no later than July 19th. Also, there are a few opportunities and announcements in the bulletin. I think I can leave most of those for you to read at your convenience. If anyone has an announcement they'd like to just shout out from the pews, I can relay that through the microphone so it's recorded. If not, we can continue with our singing and praise. Any announcements? All right, we'll continue with what we came here to do this morning, and that is praise the Lord.
And if you can say with me this morning, "I'm so glad that Jesus lifted me." Please stand and let's sing it together.
Jesus lifted me.
great hymn of the faith that says that is, "Thank God I Am Free." We begin with the chorus.
Have your bulletin, you can look at the section regarding prayer. We'll now be lifting up many of these prayer requests, as well as a few others. A couple others to note, if I can find them in all these papers I have. Alex Graham fell off of a ladder and has some injuries, so please be mindful of that and keep that in your prayers. And also, regarding Genevieve Haddell's roommate, in your bulletin, she actually passed away on Friday evening. So you can be praying for Genevieve and for the family of Barb, but also that Genevieve would trust in the Lord during this time and also get a roommate that's very compatible with her, and that will be a blessing to her. Other prayer requests that you can see, we'll highlight a few before I pray for them. Many health concerns, James Moore and Bob Mulhall recovering from surgery, Rocky Carr and his heart and AFib, Rich Cleland, Bill McCusker, Barb Yone in back pain, Nancy Smith, Kathy Brown's sister, Rachel, cancer and chemo surgery, and some others that I will lift up in prayer. Be mindful of our missionaries, specifically the rescue mission, especially during this time of COVID-19 and all the protocols they probably have to enforce, the difficulties with doing that. And if you have any other prayer requests or praises you'd like to share, you can do it now. Here comes one, as well as you can submit those to the church throughout the week.
This is actually a last-minute change regarding our missionaries. We had an emergency prayer request from Friendship International. They have a missionary family from Idaho who said yes to the Lord to go to Romania to be serving there under Friendship International. And this family, David and Gwen Stone and their children, were out in the Pacific Northwest and coming back and were in a pretty significant automobile accident. So this is a big curveball to that entire family who was they weren't able to go to Romania when they were planning to because of COVID and all of that. And now they have this going on. You have a family. I'm trying to remember how many children there are. Are there three or four? Let's pray that they can soon be reunited with their parents. Their parents were hospitalized here regarding this accident. And so this is just such a significant thing that I wanted us to be aware of it and pray for it, please.
Alrighty, let's pray. Father, we do thank you that we can come before you, that you call us to come before you with our prayers, with our concerns, with our joys, with our praises. That you are a God of communication, that you communicate to us through your Spirit, through your Word, and in the greatest way through Jesus Christ when he lived on earth, and now through him and his ministry and his kingdom here in the church. We thank you for that, and we come before you with many concerns, Lord. We pray for those dealing with health concerns, for James Moore and Bob Mulhall recovering from surgery, for Rocky Carr in his heart and his AFib issues, for Rich Cleland at Mercy Health. We pray for Bill McCusker and his continued pain and his need for approval for surgery, for Barb Yone and her back pain, for Nancy Smith as well, for Kathy Brown's sister, Rachel, and her cancer and chemo and surgery. And pray for Bob Yon's brother, Bill, with his high blood pressure and his headaches. For Joe Bazzoli and his broken hips from that fall. And pray for Kathy Holt's sister, Willie, and his cancer that has spread. And for Millie Parsons' neighbor, Tom. And pray for Genevieve Haddle and for her roommate's family. We pray that they would trust in you during the time of her passing. We pray that Genevieve would also be encouraged by you and by anyone who can visit her, which is very few during this time. We pray that you would place just the right roommate in there for her to encourage her and to strengthen her, Lord. We also want to pray for many other shut-ins and those who can't get out because of health issues and especially because of the pandemic. We pray that you would minister to their hearts during this time when others can't quite minister to them. And pray for the violence across the country, for the confusion we see in people, for people groping for some kind of fulfillment in all kinds of things that don't fulfill them. People wanting justice, but yet doing violence. People wanting what is right, and yet doing what is wrong. We know only you can bring true justice. We know that only you can truly heal the human heart. And so we pray for your mercy, Lord, for your peace. We pray that the church in America would rise up and be a great example of Christ and the unity that we can have in him. We pray that the church would not participate in the divisions that are breaking up this country. Instead, we pray that we would have one voice, that there's only healing in Jesus Christ. And so we pray for our missionaries as well who are to proclaim that message. We pray for the rescue mission and how they have upheld the gospel throughout the years and even more so lately with their new leadership and with their new vision, Lord. I just pray they'd continue to be a stronghold for the gospel message and that they would minister both in word and in deed for your glory and for your honor. We pray that during this difficult time of COVID-19 that you would give them wisdom on how to minister uniquely and strategically. We also want to pray for the family that was in the car accident. The difficulty they are probably having now, I believe the parents were separated from the children. I just pray for their healing, Lord. I pray that you would minister to them physically, but also emotionally. They're probably doubting their calling to serve you in Romania, maybe doubting where you were in all of this, Lord. Help them not to doubt, though, but to see your love and sovereignty. Though we can't understand the why sometimes, we understand who is in charge of all things. Help us, Lord, to bow a knee and help them to find comfort in that, knowing that you're in control, they're in your hands. We love you and we thank you, Lord, for all you have done. Help us to follow you faithfully. It's in Christ's name that I pray. Amen. We will continue in music ministry with a video.
Well, we appreciate, do we not, the freedom that we have in our country? But you know what? As believers, as followers of Jesus, as Christians, we have something far greater to celebrate. And this morning we want to celebrate our freedom in Christ. Now, before we partake of the bread and the cup, I want us to think about several things. I want us to be thinking about and reflecting on the matter of being set free in Christ, about the matter of being set free from the law of sin and condemnation, and about being set free to follow Jesus. So first of all, think about it. A born-again believer has been set free in Christ. Now, here's the scripture for that. We're turning to John chapter 8, verses 31 to 36. So we could turn to Galatians, but not this morning. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." They answered him, "We are Abraham's descendants and have never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say you will be made free?" Jesus answered them, "Most assuredly, I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin. And a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be," what? "Free indeed." Yeah. Some of these folks that Jesus was talking to were seemingly oblivious to all of this. They were oblivious to some really significant matters. For one thing, they were oblivious to the fact that they were in bondage. They thought that all was well because of their particular background, because of their heritage, because of their connection with Abraham, and all of this. So in verse 44, Jesus pointed out what actually was the case. He said, "You are of your father the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there's no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it." Now, there may be people that celebrated yesterday. Some of you probably set off some of your own fireworks. I don't know. But special things were done given the fact that it was the 4th of July, being mindful of the significance of that day in regards to our particular country, the United States. Those folks may think of themselves, those that celebrated in that way, as being free. And yet it may be that they are in spiritual bondage. It may be that Jesus would tell them exactly what he told the Jews here in John chapter 8, "You are of your father, the devil." So, what is it from the scripture that we just read that will set a person free? The truth. "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Verse 32. I'd like to share with you a letter this morning that was sent to AIG. What's that? Answers in Genesis. So it's actually a testimonial of someone whose life was radically changed when they were confronted with the truth from God's Word. "Dear AIG, I was raised in the Christian faith. While I knew the major stories of the Bible, I was never told why I should believe them to be true, and so I fell into the wrong crowd. I spent 7 years living as if there were no God, and I felt justified because that's what the scientists and the historians told me. A few years ago, I was at a crossroads in my life. I felt so empty. I wanted to believe. I even spent a considerable amount of time at my local bookstore reading through Christian books that dealt with origins, yet Yet all I saw was a pitiful attempt at trying to get evolution into the Bible, and I was greatly disheartened. No one seemed to take the Bible seriously. And if this was the best Christianity had to offer, I wanted no part of it. On a rare occasion, I still gave in to my mother's urgings and went to church. Now, one Sunday when I went to the church, I read in the bulletin about a neighboring church that was having a seminar on science and the Bible. And I made it to the second night of the conference, and Ken Ham was there, and he was giving a 2-day lecture on creation and evolution, and I was completely blown away. After a couple hours of speaking, I remember Ken Ham reviewing the evidence that he had presented that evening and then saying, "Isn't it great to be a Christian?" And I remember my eyes welling up with tears. For the first time since my early childhood, I thought it was great being a Christian. Because if the history of the Bible was true, then my Lord and Savior was true also. And that night everything changed. I was actually excited about Christianity. And for the first time in my adult life, I took Christianity seriously. I bought the Creation miniseries. I studied vigorously, learned all of the evidence and arguments, and since then I've shared my faith with nearly all the classes I had in undergrad, and as a result I saw many half-hearted Christians becoming fully confident in scriptures, and many others came and inquired about the faith. And on top of these blessings, I'm now in my third quarter at Concordia Seminary studying to be a pastor. He said, "A few years ago, I would never have dreamed I would be a Christian, let alone have such confidence in my Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for your wonderful ministry. Thank you. Without it, I might have been lost forever. In the love of Christ, Theodore Torreson." What about you? Have you been set free? Have you been changed by the Word of God? Are you excited to be a Christian? Are you open to the call to Christian service, if that's what the Lord should want? The psalmist, in speaking to the Lord, said this in Psalm 119, 142, "Your righteousness is an everlasting righteousness, and your law is truth." According to our text this morning, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. It becomes liberating, you see, when we respond to the true teaching that we find in the scriptures. What will set a person free? The Son. That's S-O-N, the Son. "Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed." Verse 36. Now, what is it then that the Jews needed to understand, and what is it that folks like you and I need to understand in our day? Well, we need to understand that a person enslaved to sin is in bondage. And it really doesn't matter one's heritage. It doesn't matter one's roots or background in this regard. It doesn't matter how many of the stories from the Bible that we may know. What matters if we have come to know Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Son of Man. Notice again verses 34 to 36. Jesus answered them, "Most assuredly, I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin. And a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed." Jesus was talking about himself when he spoke of the Son making them free. The Bible says that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. That's John chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. What a wonderful passage of Scripture. What will set a person free from spiritual bondage? Well, it is first of all recognizing that because of sin one is in bondage. And it is secondly recognizing that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and that no one comes to the Father except through him. And it is thirdly placing one's faith and trust in Jesus, realizing that he gave his life, he shed his blood on the cross for our redemption. Have you been set free in Christ? If so, you know what? There is something wonderful to celebrate. Well, let's move on to the second thing I said I wanted to highlight this morning, and that is that a born again or a born of above or a born of the Spirit believer has been set free from the law of sin and death. The law of sin and death. Here's what the Bible says in Romans chapter 8, verses 1 to 4. I just love that, Romans 8, 1. I don't know, it's been a number of years ago that that verse really jumped out at me. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who did not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. On account of sin, he condemned sin in the flesh. And the righteous requirement of the law, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Now, what comes to mind when you think of the word condemnation? What comes to mind when you think of that word, condemnation? To be condemned is to have a sentence pronounced. It is to have a verdict rendered. It is to have a pronouncement made that one is guilty of crimes committed. And the Bible does say that the wages of sin is what? Death. Romans 6:23a. Now, if a person has ever done anything wrong, they're guilty before the Lord. Have you ever thought about that? James chapter 2, verse 10, for whoever shall keep the whole law and yet stumble in one point, he is guilty, guilty of all. Now, George Wilson, probably no relative of Ed Wilson and company, was a criminal who in the 1830s was indicted on 6 counts of obstructing and robbing the U.S. mail, including threatening a carrier with bodily harm and violent assault. Now, it so happened that this violent assault was carrying the death penalty. And there was rising public petition against the death penalty that prompted then-President Andrew Jackson to issue a pardon for the assault conviction. Now, the amazing thing is that Mr. Wilson declined the pardon. Yeah, I know. Bonnie is frowning. What's up with that? me too. So the district court was not sure how to handle the complexities of the case, and eventually this case went on to the United States Supreme Court. The Supreme Court said in its ruling, and I'm quoting here, that a pardon is an act of grace. Where is that coming from? Don't you love it? A pardon is an act of grace proceeding from the power entrusted with the execution of the laws, which exempts the individual on whom it is bestowed from the punishment the law inflicts for the crime he has committed. A pardon is a deed to the validation of which delivery is essential, and delivery is not complete without acceptance. Still quoting the Supreme Court here. It may then be rejected by the person to whom it is tendered, and if it be rejected, we have discovered no power in a court to force it on him. It may be supposed that no being condemned to death would reject a pardon, but the rule must be the same in capital cases and misdemeanors. So, whatever happened to Mr. George Wilson? Well, he was executed for his crime. Think about it. His status was condemned, but his status could have been pardoned. But he did not receive that which was offered to him. How about you? Have you responded to and said yes to and received that which has been offered to you, which took place actually at Calvary? As the hymn writer put it, years I spent in vanity and pride, caring not my Lord was crucified, knowing not it was for me he died on Calvary. By God's word, at last my sin I learned, when I trembled at his law I spurned, till all my guilty soul imploring turned to Calvary. Mercy there was great, and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burdened soul found liberty at Calvary. Well, if you accepted what the Lord made available to you, then Colossians 2:14 from the Message ought to thrill your soul. It's there on the screen for us to reflect on. Think about it. All sins forgiven, the slate wiped clean, the old arrest warrant canceled and nailed to Christ's cross. Think about it, brothers and sisters. Furthermore, if you accepted what the Lord made available to you, then the scripture we're looking at from Romans 8 verse 1 ought to thrill your heart as well. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. No condemnation. Pardoned. So, set free in Christ. Set free from the law of sin and death. There's a third thing I wanted to briefly touch on in this regard yet this morning, and that is that a born-again believer is set free to follow Christ. Set free to follow Christ. Now, in Romans chapter 6, here's what the Apostle Paul was saying. He was talking to believers about being raised unto newness of life when they came to faith in Christ. And so he said in verse 11, likewise you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. In verse 18, and having been set free from sin, you become slaves of righteousness. And I'd like you to also see how the MSG put it for this verses 17 and 18. All your lives, you've let sin tell you what to do, but thank God you started listening to a new master, one whose commands set you free to live openly in his freedom. Sometimes we hear about people doing some crazy stuff. Actually, I think we hear that a lot, people doing bizarre things. And where did that come from? What perpetrated that? What was at the root of that bizarre behavior? And the answer, I believe, is quite simple. They are a slave to sin. A person that has been redeemed, however, is able to hear and respond to a different voice. You and I are able to, through virtue of being pardoned and experiencing the grace of God, we're able to hear the voice of the Good Shepherd. We're able to hear the voice of Jesus. We're able to respond in loving obedience to Him. It's a wonderful thing to be set free, to follow Christ. I had a flashback this past week. I still remember comments that I was getting when I was getting ready to take my first missions trip. You mean you're taking your 2 weeks of vacation to do that? You mean, what? You don't know anybody else that is going on this trip? You mean you're going all the way down? Is it even safe to go down there? That was to Ecuador. I was going because I felt the leading of the Lord to do so. Being set free is not that we're somehow now able to do whatever we want to do, whatever pleases us. We're set free rather that we might do what the Lord wants us to do. We're free to follow Christ, even when many of the people around us do not. We're free to follow Christ even when many folks don't get it or choose to reject it or think it's strange and unusual. We're free to follow Christ even when much of the world is moving in an opposite direction. To have that inner kind of freedom truly is something to be thankful for. And I believe this morning to have that inner freedom, to be set free in Christ, is something truly to celebrate. And that's why this emphasis on celebrating our freedom in Christ. Let's bow our heads and pray. And then when we are done praying, the song people will have magically appeared on the platform and will respond in song. Heavenly Father, we're so grateful to you for who you are, for what you've done. We just rejoice in you, Lord, and this day thank you for the opportunity to gather in the name of Jesus. Bless also those who are worshiping from home and are not able to be here today for various reasons. Encourage our hearts and be with us as we continue in this service. In Jesus' name, amen.
Would you please stand with us if you can and sing Once for All?
All right, just a couple of things as we approach our communion time here this morning. No, you don't have to be a member of the church here in order to participate in the communion. As long as you are in Christ Jesus, we welcome you and are so glad that you're here today. Secondly, I know this is different because some of you are wearing masks, and this is entirely up to you. If you prefer not to participate because you want to continue to wear the mask, that's totally up to you, that the Lord understands. Or if you want to take your mask off briefly to take the communion and then put it back on, that's totally your call. Anyway, just want you to know about that. Then another thing, the little containers, if you're sitting in a pew, are situated in the pew in front of you. If you're on a chair, they should have been on the chair in a little baggie. The little baggie is there so you can put the empty container back in it then. Afterwards, if you're in the pew, you can just put it back in the pew rack. Now, this is also a little bit different because we've never used these prepackaged contraptions, but trust that it will be just fine. I do want to read just a few verses here before we actually partake from Colossians chapter. I think we're testing out the... I hear the... In him you were also circumcised with a circumcision made without hands by putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the working of God, who raised him from the dead. And you being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he has made alive together with him, having forgiven all trespasses, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. Having nailed it to the cross. So. Father, we are so thankful for what you have done for us. Your great love, which you demonstrated at Calvary. Thank you, Lord, for Jesus breaking his body, shedding his blood for us. And we just pray that you would bless the elements today as we partake together. And may it thrill our hearts. May you be glorified as we do this in honor of, in celebration of, even remembrance of you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, we peel off just the very top part. Want to make sure everybody has their wafer here. Oh, okay. It's called the breaking of bread. All right, let us remember the body of Christ. I think some people are perhaps still getting the wafer out. Okay. Are we all set? Let us remember the body of Christ broken for us. You may want to peel the top back just partially, if that is easier for you. Let us remember the blood of Christ shed for us.
We've not sung this as a congregation before. Carla played it last week. If you would stand, we'd like to sing All My Hope.
Jesus Christ, you are free to extend forgiveness and to be forgiving, to serve and to be served, to love and to accept love. Go into your community this week as free people. Amen.